Welcome to Tech Insights from InfoTech Research Group, the podcast where experts cut through all the noise and focus on what really matters for technology leaders. To say that the legal industry moves at a snail's pace with technology adoption might be an insult to snails. Perhaps because their talents are always so highly in demand, the industry hasn't yet felt the pressure to embrace the modern technology stack that is driving other knowledge-based professions. Yet, as with many things, the pandemic has changed everything. Since early 2020, law firms had to adjust to the reality of operating without the option of getting everyone together in the office. And even some of their court cases were shifted to video conferencing, requiring the transfer and management of digital affidavits. Today, we're going to look at how the pandemic has accelerated digital transformation in the legal industry. And joining me for the discussion is Mick Learnout, the Vice President of Product at Clio. Welcome, Mick.
Hi, thanks so much, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you, really. Would you like to just tell us about Clio for those that have never heard about it before?
For sure. Yeah, happy to. So Clio, we're based in Vancouver, BC, or we're founded in Vancouver, BC by Jack and Ryan now 13 years ago, I think. I think I got that right. And we're basically we think of ourselves as the operating system for the legal industry. Clio builds SaaS software for legal professionals. It's by far the largest SaaS solution for legal professionals out in the market. We've been doing that for 13 years, and that starts all the way from helping law firms basically run their business in the cloud. And that means doing things like tracking time, billing their clients, collecting on those bills, taking in new clients, arranging appointments, interacting with your clients, so talking to them, texting, having them sign documents, all of those things that you'd expect a law firm to do, they can do on top of Clio. And we have this really, really big mission and this really bold mission of transforming the legal experience for all. And we think the best way of doing that is by giving amazing technology to these legal professionals and by making them think about our practice in a very client-centric way. That's a little bit. I've been with Clio myself for the last 2.5 years. So it's been really, really fun learning about this particular industry and about the snail pace. Sorry again to those snails that you talked about before. But it's also really cool because there's so much opportunity there to make change and to make things better for these legal professionals.
I often observe that software products have two different strategies. You can either choose a task that you're going to transform for everybody, like video conferencing or doing invoices, for example, or you can choose an industry and say, we're going to solve every problem that industry has. And Clio clearly fits into the latter part of those two things, right? So with the pandemic sort of forcing law firms to rethink how they approach their work, I just wonder how Clio's business has changed.
Yeah, that's a great question. The pandemic has changed everything for everybody. It's caused like tremendous change within the legal industry. The way that we actually thought about it when we first saw it happen, and just maybe as a quick side note, we have an enormous amount of the legal profession in North America and the US in particular uses our platform. So when the pandemic hit, we could actually see what was happening to the legal industry live in our systems. We saw it in the usage, we saw it in how people were interacting with our systems, and we actually would even publish regular reports on that to inform the legal industry, this is what's happening. And basically what we saw is, if you think about a very change-resistant industry like legal professionals or the legal industry, what we've really been targeting for those first 13 years were the innovators, the change makers, the people that are at those firms, those lawyers that are really thinking about how to adopt technology, how to change their firm, base it around their clients instead of themselves. And that was a small fraction. And that fraction is that community is continuously growing over time. But when we think about what the pandemic did, is we had this internal project, we called it Back to the Future. It kind of put us in like a time machine, or put the legal industry in a time machine. And we feel like we'd accelerated 5, maybe even 10 years. And a lot of the things that we saw happen with those innovators suddenly became table stakes. And you gave some really good examples. Suddenly hearings were happening over Zoom. I don't think we, a month before, nobody would have believed that ever would have happened. And here we were, where that became the new standards. Even things like one of the easiest way that a law firm can become incredibly more productive is taking online payments. And as an industry, they've actually been fairly resistant to online payments. Well, that suddenly became the norm of how you pay your lawyer, just changed overnight. And we saw this huge adoption of people switching over to credit card payments and other payment methods that can happen online. E-signatures, probably many of us use e-signatures for a lot of different services. Interestingly enough, in the legal industry, it's actually been one of the huge laggards in terms of adopting e-signatures, and that changed overnight as well. So lots of really, I think, big changes that happened in that industry in a really short amount of time that I think we felt really fortunate, because we already had this community that was doing and working in that particular way. And suddenly we have all of these other firms that were knocking on our door and that were suddenly changing the way that they were working, which was really, really exciting for us to see.
Yeah, that's great. You really recapped a lot of the different ways lawyers had to adapt to working digitally. Could you give me a ballpark? If you're looking at Clio's customer base, look back to January 2020. How would it compare from then to today?
Like in terms of I think the big thing, like, it's obviously grown significantly. We don't share those kind of growth numbers, but a really significant growth that we saw pretty much immediately after the pandemic, and that growth hasn't really stalled. We just see more and more people changing. But then we also see we actually saw the profile change of the type of customer that were coming on board. Before, there were people that were looking to become more productive. They were looking at technology to help them with that. And then we saw this new audience that were really forced into this change. And so our role changed a little bit as well, from, hey, let's help these people that are really motivated, to we're people that are struggling with this change, and how can we help them make that as easy as possible for them? And that's been a really, really fun, I think, new role for Clio, that Clio was able to play in this particular time.
All right. So much for that snail space. That's over now, right? We're into this new era. So I'm curious about your application programming interface, or API. And just to explain to everybody here, APIs are released by developers of a product to provide interoperability. It's achieved when other developers use that API to integrate with another software product. So the legal industry has not been a heavy user of APIs compared to other industries, like the technology sector, for example, where this trend really started. But hundreds of APIs exist in the legal industry, offering all sorts of services. For example, you can search the FBI's most wanted list, or collect a signature on a document, an electronic signature, of course, or you can bill your clients. So Clio has launched an API, and I noticed it's ranked in the top 10 APIs for the legal profession by Programmable Web, which is like the phone book of APIs. So Mick, just let's start with the basics here. What does your API do?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, so Clio is pretty much the operating system for legal. And so everything that you need in a law firm, you can do on top of Clio. And what's really amazing is, again, I talked about Jack and Ryan, our founders, before. When they started Clio, they, I think, were actually really visionary, because what they decided to do was if Clio was going to become the operating system for legal, just like any operating system, they needed rich APIs so that people could go and extend the platform as well, or extend Clio too. And so everything inside of Clio, pretty much all of the functionality that you can use when you use Clio, the application, you can actually access through the APIs itself. Like, we kind of joke about this internally a little bit. We can have an API developer that basically builds another Clio just on top of our APIs, and they could do that if they wanted to. And so we've actually had this really strong vision at the very, very start of when Clio was started, that everything that a user can do through the web application and through the interface, we should be able to enable as well through the APIs. And I think we've actually stayed pretty close to that over time. So we build our app almost on the same APIs that our developers, so they're exposed to our external developers.
Okay. And when we talk about using an API, it's like a transactional type of metric. So it gets called upon, it gets interacted with. And I asked you about your growing customer base there already, but if we're talking about just the API, how has that sort of changed in the last year of the half, the amount of use it's getting?
Yeah, I mean, the first one is obviously as I mentioned, there's this accelerated pace of change that happened inside of our industry. And so people weren't just turning to Clio, they were also turning to Zoom, they were turning to Microsoft Office 365, like they were adopting all of these other tools. And we actually did a fairly big project internally where we released a bunch of integrations with all of those tools, which are also built on top of our API as well, because it wasn't just one thing that was changing in their firm, it was everything that was changing. And so that was something that we saw accelerate heavily. We saw a whole bunch of new innovation in the space too. And like with all of this change, things like chatbots, for example, the ability to have on your website to have a chatbot that allows clients to ask questions about your firm, that suddenly we saw grow really heavily. And Clio doesn't have a chatbot ourselves, but we've got some amazing partners that built some really, really cool chatbots that were replacing some of the in-person interactions that we saw before. And then one really interesting category, and that's probably exists more with our kind of more mature, more innovative customers, is a lot of innovation and change in the no-code space. So we also have APIs that we expose out through Zapier. And we have some customers that are doing some really cool things using those APIs, and they're not even coding anything. They're just stitching together a bunch of different tools with Zapier and then doing some really, really innovative things in terms of automating workflows or stitching different tools together. And I think that is something that is that's really exciting. Yeah.
And just for listeners that aren't familiar with Zapier, it's this interoperability tool that you get to use with a graphical interface. So when one thing happens in one program, you can make another thing happen in another program with sort of if and when and what technology and logic. So if you get an email from a certain person, every time you could get a text to your phone line, or you could enter a row into a spreadsheet, just for example. But let's go back to talking about this idea of building a whole new Clio. You know, you talk about this concept of if you just used our APIs, you could like recreate our products. And then people might be thinking, well, why are you giving it all away, right? But that's what this interoperability idea is all about. So just talk about that decision it sounds like it's a fairly open architecture. So talk about that decision to go that route and why you've done that.
Yeah, I think I feel first off, like it is extremely open. Pretty much anybody can go and knock on our door and get a developer key and get access to these APIs. And then we do a review, kind of an internal review of your application or of an application a developer builds before we expose it out to other customers. But every customer of ours can interact with the APIs with their own data. And we obviously want to be able to make sure that every app that's exposed to other customers is secure and respects privacy and confidentiality and et cetera. But we very specifically chose to be really open like that. And that's mostly because we don't really feel like we want to be in the role of, let's call it policing innovation. We see a lot of, we can't look around the corner. We don't know what amazing applications that people can buy or build, or developers will be able to build. And so if we make those categories or those restrictions too strong, we think we're going to exclude a whole class of innovation, basically, and of development. And actually, a really good example of that is, so Clio, one of the features that we have is we have really great document automation. So one of the things that obviously lawyers and paralegals and legal professionals do a lot is they produce a lot of documents. They could be contracts, they could be employment agreements, they could be briefs. And they'll often have a bunch of templates. They'll produce templates and they can store those templates in Clio. And then Clio can take information that exists in their contact record, for example, and automatically merge it in an employment agreement, and then create basically with pretty much no effort a new employment agreement for potentially a new employee. And so that's functionality that we've had that's been exposed through our APIs and that we've had for a long time. And then we had they started a couple of years ago, this company Lawya, and they just built a better version of our document automation. They did something that used exactly the same APIs that our document automation is built on, and theirs is just a little bit smoother, has a really incredible user experience and user interface. It's deeply integrated into Word. And they actually were extremely successful. They published an app in our app directory, became extremely successful, and we actually acquired them. We just announced that last week or 2 weeks ago, we announced that we acquired them because they built a better version of the thing that we had. And that side of innovation we would not have seen if we would not have had a platform that was that open or an API that was that open.
Right. So just to recap the point you made there, you acquired a software startup that built a better version of the task, the function that you were delivering to clients using your own API.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. To build a right. better version of something that we had, and that they would have not been able to do that without our open APIs. And now all of our customers get access to that, which is amazing. Yeah.
So that shows the opportunities for innovation that you get when you go with this open architecture, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Yeah. And we've talked about how developers are taking advantage of your APIs, but what about your clients? What about the lawyers, right? How does APIs and the fact that those are available affect their daily work life?
Yeah, I think there's two ways, really. The first one is, so if you have really open APIs like we have, you'll have developers, you have other software providers, they'll build these really great integrations with your app. And every time they do that, our app, like our Clio, becomes more valuable to our customers. Like they'll be able to do, like for the same price, they'll be able to get more value. They'll be able to do things even in an easier way. And so when we think about our API and we think about any apps that are built on top of it, it always starts with our customer first. Is how does making these choices, how does it, again, create more innovation in the space, and for that innovation, obviously, to help our customers very, very directly. So I think that is probably for the vast majority of our customers how they us having an open API ecosystem, how that helps them. But then we also have these really more mature, more sophisticated customers that actually get in there, and either they use a no-code tool, some of them will actually hire a developer, some of them have become developers over time, and they'll build their own. Maybe it's initially is just a little kind of widget or something that uses an API to fix a particular workflow or a problem or an opportunity that they see. And then some of them, that actually evolves into an app that they go and sell later on, and then everybody can get value from that. And I think those two kind of moves, I think, create direct value for our customers and it just makes Clio more powerful and more valuable for everybody.
And when it comes back to your revenue model, how does the API fit into that? Because you have to have a way to make money at the end of the day. So if this is something that's open and just available to be called on for anyone that has the competence to do so, how does it contribute to your bottom line?
Yeah, for us, it's actually fairly simple. So we don't charge for APIs. Our customers, our people that build on top of our APIs don't have to pay us either. So it's not just open, it's free. But every customer, like the API is only available for our customers. And we obviously charge a subscription fee for our service or for Clio. And so, and that's basically the revenue model is if people buy a Clio subscription, they don't just get Clio, they get all of these additional, and they get the power of the API as well. And our customers become happier and our customers stick around with Clio more than they would before. And what's really interesting, I think, for Clio in particular, for people that are interested in this in the legal industry, there's actually not that many players that have an open API. And so it becomes a huge differentiator for us. Like it becomes, it's the reason why people pick Clio, is why they switch to Clio, is because we have so many apps, because they can build their own extensions on top of Clio. And so it actually becomes just more valuable by itself. So we don't charge for it separately. It's actually just, I would say, just superpowers our core subscription business.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that the open API makes Clio a platform for the legal industry?
Absolutely, yeah. I said, like, we use the word platform a lot. I like operating system a lot. Like thinking about if you get a phone, you have an Apple phone, you have iOS, and it obviously comes with a bunch of apps, with a bunch of functionality, and then you can go and download a bunch of apps as well that other people have built on top of its APIs. And that's how we think about Clio too. It's you buy Clio, you get a bunch of apps, you get our own functionality, and they're awesome. And if they're not good enough, or if you want more, you can go into our app ecosystem and get all these other apps as well. And so, yeah, it changes us from being just a straightforward software provider in really a platform for a whole range of functionality. Yeah.
Right. And if I were to look at your growth, I would say that the whatever revenue model you do have must be working, because I see how many different positions you're hiring right now. So I'd just like to hear, what are all those people going to be working on? What are your future plans for Clio that you can share here? And how does the API fit into that?
Yeah, so we obviously have lots of plans, and there's only a few that I can talk about. I mentioned before, our industry is going through all of this change. We're one of the leaders in the industry, which we're really proud of, but it also forces us to continue to innovate, to continue to build better software, build more APIs, ensure that there's more apps out there for our customers. And that's something, all those things are things that we're going to continue to invest in. But one of the areas that I think we're really interested in is actually this idea of, I think particularly in thinking about APIs, is how can we make APIs even simpler to consume by our customers, like simpler to interact with. And so that's where things like Zapier and these other no-code platforms come in, because we see a future where a lawyer, a legal professional, isn't just relying on these tools and on these APIs to make their work better, their life better, but they're actually starting to automate part of their job and actually expose that directly out to their clients. And there's so many things that are highly transactional in law. And there's so many things that are actually not that interesting. Like I gave the example before about an employment agreement. Like that's something that needs to happen. But what you're really looking for a lawyer to do is provide their advice and their expertise around that document. The generating of the document is not that interesting. And so wouldn't it be cool if a lawyer could actually create an application where they can expose like an employment agreement generator to their clients, And they, whenever an employment agreement gets generated, they get to review it. They get to make sure that they provide great advice around it. But everything else is really, really open. And that's something, that's a universe that we'd love to build. And we believe that APIs are going to be really at the center of that. Like, how do we make those APIs as extensible as possible, not just for developers, but also for this broader community of customers?
Right. So as you're talking about this, I'm trying to connect it to my tech trends report, and my framework for it is enablers of the digital economy. And it definitely sounds like Clio is enabling law firms in the digital economy. But if you had to just sort of explain, if you were to explain to a new client that had no idea what an API was, right? You just walk in your door, or they get referred to you by a cop, maybe somebody else. And you're meeting them for the first time. How would you describe what Clio enables for a law firm?
That's a really good question. Like, I'd probably talk about the apps first before I talk about the APIs, because I feel that's the easiest for people to understand. And I actually always go back to my phone analogy. Is, you know, how you can buy your phone and you have a bunch of apps, and then you can find all of these other really, really cool apps to use. Like, I feel like that's easiest for people to kind of understand almost the outcome or the impact of them on having an open API kind of ecosystem. But then when I think about the APIs themselves, it's really unlimited flexibility, because what it allows you to do is it allows you to take something like Clio, and Clio does a whole bunch of different things, and we have a really wide array of features. And what is really nice about it, or what's really cool about it, is you as a customer can decide which parts of that you want to use. But then also you can change anything inside of Clio. You can choose, if you don't really like how something works, you can create your own version of that. You can create some automation, or you can write a little bit of code that changes the way that Clio behaves in a little bit. And so it's almost like this, an ultimate version of, even though you're buying a product that is highly stable and it's highly consistent, and we know it works so well for so many customers, you get that. But then you also get unlimited flexibility, and you can customize it exactly to your needs if you want to. And so I feel like that is, you kind of get the best of both worlds, basically, if you're not really building everything yourself, but you can still make the experience as flexible and as customized to your firm and your needs as you want.
Great. Mick, thanks so much for explaining this all to me and joining me on Tech Insights today.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brian. I love talking about this. Like, I think, as you probably can hear, I love APIs and the app ecosystem and building these types of platforms, and just feel so fortunate being able to do this at Clio. And thanks so much for spending time with me today.
And for our listeners, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to subscribe to Tech Insights. You've got to hit that subscribe button on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Every week we'll have a new episode for you, so tune in and subscribe. Thank you so much. I'm Brian Jackson.